burn, my queen, glow so bright the darkness trembles.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are a podcast bringing you the book news, the book reviews that you really need to decide on your next read. All the books that you see flooding the internet every day, we're here to help you figure out which ones are good and which ones are right for you, especially if you're busy like us. I'm Casey.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Catherine. And this week, we are bringing you a continuation of a series. So we reviewed Spark of the Everflame like a month or so ago or a couple months back. And now we're on book two, which is Glow of the Everflame. I'm sensing a pattern here. Mm-hmm. And this is about DM's journey. We're starting right where we left off. I guess this is a spoiler if you haven't read any of the books, but she is Queen of Lumnos. She's got a crown above her. Mm-hmm. It's floating above her head. She doesn't know what to do. She's having a mental breakdown. So her brother and Luther's sister, Lily, are trying to help her. And she is kind of having to navigate a world in which she was sheltered from because her mother kept her away from the Descended. And now she's going to be smack dab in the middle of Descended power grabs and power struggles and politics. This is just a political book. Let's just say that it is going through the entire motions of the turning of power over to another person. And will DM have the crown at the end? Who's to say?
Yes. This is all leading up to her
she either has it or she's dead. So
yes. Yeah. We find out that she could die very soon.
Right. The peak of this book is all leading up to her challenging, which I think you do hear about in book one. So, I mean, Catherine kind of already said it, but this whole book will be a spoiler if you haven't read book one. But we're not going to spoil book two until later. First things first, you guys have your reviews.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh. Caitlin!
Delinquent.
Guys, I'm so thrown off today.
It's okay. I mean, the planning for this podcast episode was chaotic. We were supposed to do a different book this week. So,
yes, but it's chaotic right now. The world's chaotic.
Yeah, the whole vibes. You guys know what the vibes are like. I think we have some international listeners, actually. Maybe they don't know what the vibes are like.
They know what the vibes are like.
Send us your good vibes. You guys go and I'll have one by the time you're done.
Okay. I want to go first because I really like mine.
Okay, go for it.
And it's short. It's a 2-star review. And it just says, this book would be so much better without DM in it.
Period.
It's about the main character. Let's just cut her out. Let's not have her.
Let's just change her entire personality. Yeah. That might save it.
Yeah, let's just have this book without DM.
Okay, I have a 1-star review. And I chose it, one, because it was a funny review, and two, because the reviewer's image is a raccoon wearing bunny ears, which I was just like, that's cute. Cool. So 1-star on Goodreads. It says, just hot garbage. The FMC is trash. I'll read book 3 only because there aren't any good wikis to tell me what's happening, and the ebooks are fairly cheap.
That is honestly a great explainer of this book. It's so enraging, but it just gets its goddamn hooks in you. You just keep reading it.
I found one that goes perfectly what you guys read. This is 4 stars. It says, DM is unbelievably annoying, but when she finally embraces her power and love interest, she's much better, LOL.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
How long does that last? Okay. So, still a very well-reviewed book, as is the first book. This one on Goodreads is 4.4 out of 5 stars, and the overall Amazon rating is 4.6 out of 5. What did you guys give this book?
So, I gave this book 3 stars. I liked it. I thought it was not a bad continuation of the first book, because I think I gave the first book also 3 stars. Mm-hmm. So, because I was the lowest rated, which I was shocked between the three of us.
Yeah.
It's a quick read. I read it in one sitting. It's a real quick read. You want to finish it because you just want to know what happens. But DM was pissing me off the whole fucking book. And I'm like, girl, open your goddamn eyes and use critical thinking skills. Mm-hmm. And don't trust just random ass people.
Yeah.
I mean, she's either too trusting or not trusting enough. Like, she's never in the middle.
Never appropriately trusting. That's definitely true.
No.
I'll go next because I have very similar vibes. I gave this book 3.5 stars, which is the exact same I also gave the first book. I liked it. I was really sat for this book. I love a political thriller, though. And this book is like very heavy on the palace politics, which I loved. I love the palace politics. You learn a lot more about the other families in the Fae part of the world. I did find this book more frustrating than the first book, but I think the plot is overall stronger. So it's still kind of balanced out for me ultimately to keep it at a 3.5. DM continues to be obnoxious in this book. But it does look like at the end of this book, she's kind of like where she needs to be for some more character development. Does that happen? Maybe we'll review book 3. But also, Henry in this book actually made me want to bash my head against a wall. Like, I was close to ending it all just to not experience another scene with Henry in it. and so there were pros and cons in this book. But overall, I thought it was just an engaging, interesting continuation.
We'll get into Henry because I have many thoughts.
Okay, no shocker here. I rated it 4 stars. guys, I love this series. I understand it's not perfect, but the unique magic system and the politics of this book and the fact that there is a shadow daddy really just has me in it for the long haul. And I think this book's merit is introducing some of my favorite side characters. Mm-hmm. I really love some of the characters you end up meeting in the palace, some of the other descended characters. And yeah, Henry does suck and DM can be annoying, but in the end, I don't care.
Well, there's less Henry in this book than there was in book 1. So
it's just worse. The parts you get of him are
so
worse.
Much worse. Yeah. So much worse. And DM not being able to control him.
Mm-hmm. I love a slow burn. My God.
Yeah. Too slow.
It's really slow. It's really slow. Yeah. This whole
especially because like at the end of book 1, they kissed.
Yeah.
And then nothing.
Like the problem in book 1 is like DM's self-denial. And that continues to be the problem in this book.
At this point, we're reading YA. Okay. We're reading.
Yes.
It is YA.
At this point.
It has to be.
I know they're not branding it as YA, but this book is YA. Like
new adult, maybe.
Is. Yeah.
But no, I'm pretty sure it's branded as adult.
That's stupid.
Yeah, that's dumb. Anyway, one of the reasons why the burn is so slow is because we're still dealing with Henry in this book. Like, against all odds, we're still dealing with him. Okay. So our non-spoiler discussion. Is the book more plot or character driven?
It can't be character driven.
Literally couldn't be character.
She makes no progress except for like at the 10% at the end.
On my hands and knees begging DM to have a moment of self-reflection. She refuses to do it.
Caitlin's over here just like, what the fuck?
Just wincing. I agree. And honestly, like this, probably the reason I like this fantasy series so much is because it is pretty much entirely plot driven. And, you know, I love a fantasy book with lots of action. So I agree.
But is there lots of action?
I mean, there are lots of moving pieces, lots of politics.
Mm-hmm.
I was never bored, you know?
Yes. No, I was never bored, but like. Whatever.
I will say the thing I appreciated about the schemes is that DM gets much better at it throughout the book, but she's also thrown into this environment with schemers who are much better at scheming than her.
Yes.
And I appreciate that it's not just like easy. She's not just, you know, stunting on bitches. You know, she's really fighting for her life.
Yeah, I guess I'll give credit to that because I feel like a lot of fantasy books will just like have the main character have just innate knowledge and power. Like they're all seeing, all knowing, and they can do like they can dribble a basketball on their finger basically just immediately. So I like that she's very, very flawed, but then she gets annoying at times because she doesn't grow from her flaws.
Right. Well, the fun part of the book that makes DM tolerable enough to get through the book is that she is trying to now balance her two identities as growing up human and hating the Descended and now being a part of the Descended and meeting Descended people that she ends up loving. She's like trying to still help the humans, but also like not kill the innocent Descended. And she's like having to go back and forth on who she is at the core and like re-finding her identity. So that's what keeps her like mildly interesting in the book.
Yes. Second question. I feel like we don't even really need to read. Would you read other books by the author? We've all read the three books that are currently out. So
I have not finished the third book still.
You haven't? Oh my gosh. No. I hate you.
I know.
Honestly, the more it's I sit on that one, I kind of want to go back and change my star rating.
Yeah.
And I might. I've never done that.
I have some big feelings about the third book, but we'll focus on the second one. Okay. How is the pacing? This one's pretty long. How long did it take you to read?
I said I read it in one sitting. So, you know, a day.
I think I read it in 2 days. It's like long, but not at all boring and not a complicated read.
Yeah.
Honestly, it felt like a quicker read than the first book.
Yes, it does. Because there's more plot. I thought the pacing in this book was really good. I think it took me a little longer than you guys, 3 or 4 days. But all I can remember is like I was like neglecting my work to read this book. Like any second I could stop working and pick up this book, even for 3 minutes, I was doing it.
Casey willingly picked up a second fantasy book in a series.
Yes.
That means
we did not ask her to do this.
This was an unplanned episode. I just did it.
We are just as shocked as you are.
Yeah.
And pleasantly surprised.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so would you watch a movie or TV show of the book?
Like maybe just because I like the world is so cool.
I want to see the world for sure. Can we make DM different?
Guys, just like disagreeable female leads are what has been the mainstay for the last, you know, 15 years.
The problem with DM is not that she's so difficult. It's that she refuses to have any growth whatsoever. Like she will. And she's never met a problem she didn't want to make worse. Like,
period.
But Feyre, Katniss.
It's true.
Violet to an extent.
Right.
But Feyre actually changes and Feyre goes through
matures.
Growth.
Feyre matures.
Yeah.
We'll see. There was a review I read a while ago, and it was like, it was about Onyx Storm, but it was like potential chases, but she's faster.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about DM.
We seem to be okay lately with blockbuster fantasy books where the main character has a little growth in the first book and never again. Am I wrong? Catherine's giving me the worst look.
You're not wrong, and that's what I hate. People, get outside of this.
Okay. Well, busy girl rating. What do you guys know? Have?
I'm going to bump it up to a 4. Because if you've already read the first book, the second book is kind of like you have to read it. It's compulsory. Like you have, because it ends on a cliffhanger. And then when you finish this book, spoiler alert, it ends on a cliffhanger. So then you have to read the third book. So it's just like a continuous thread. It's like one large book.
Large is an understatement.
Yes.
But I do agree with the 4, because if you're reading the second book, you clearly like the story, the writing style. And the only reason, I think I gave the last one a 5. This one is longer, though. So 4 stars, busy girl writing.
I have mixed feelings because the whole series is like very long books. Like the book 3 is also extremely long.
Book 3 is like 1,000 pages.
Yeah. I think I just feel like I read it so fast that I feel like I have to give it a 4. But the reason I consider bumping it down is I do find it to be a very frustrating book, which I think gets, you know, understandably in people's way sometimes, but I'll stay with a 4.
Now I'm really curious if we were to do the third book.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, that's, my Goodreads is public, so.
Yeah, that cannot be a high busy girl rating considering it's now taken me 2 months to finish that book.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, just between we are doing some, which kind of what this is, some like tougher books in a row, we'll just do the third one to give people a palate cleanser. So even if they haven't read it, they can listen to Casey destroy it.
Period. I'll finally finish it then.
All over it. Yeah.
Pretty bad if you've had it started for months and haven't finished it.
Yeah, so. I'm 60% through it. Like I've read probably 800 pages and I just haven't finished it.
Yeah, I will say the real reason I'm thinking of dropping it to a 3, which I think is unfair, but since I've read on, I can reflect back on like, how do I feel about the rest of the series and like pushing through this book. And I would compare it to the disappointment I felt after A Serpent in a Wings of Night. That is how differently I felt. So,
wow. Okay. And we all know the disappointment you felt after Serpent in the Wings of Night.
Okay, we all felt that.
Yes. But I felt particularly rageful.
Which is funny because I gave the third book 5 stars. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Even though I said I've rethought that since then, so I'm not sure. But
anyway, but we'll stick on book 2 for now. Book 2 still left me feeling optimistic. And this is now time for our spoiler alert discussion. So if you haven't read book 2, we've certainly painted a complicated picture for you, but ultimately you should read it on so that you can continue to discuss this with us.
Yeah, we really gave no substance in that part.
Yeah.
Except for character analysis.
We did not give any substance. It's palace intrigue and you get a little bit of introduction to the rest of the realms, but not a ton.
And you meet good new people.
Yeah. Oh, a bigger cast of characters.
The side characters saved this book a lot.
Yeah.
The side characters saved the series.
You're right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The fascinating world actually really saves the series.
Period.
Okay. Anyway, enough teasing. Discussion section starts now. Spoiler alert. What did you guys think of the book? It kind of picks up like immediately after the other book left off. And we've already touched on DM a little bit, but how did you guys feel about DM's journey?
I mean, like, thank goodness that we were reading these when these 3 were already written, because it would have, could have been one of those where I'd be like, where were we in the first one? Like, you know, yeah, where it left off, but I would say reading them back to back to back made it definitely more enjoyable for like consistency of the story in my brain, because it really does not go back and explain anything.
No.
And you're like, why is this girl so sad? She got crown on her head.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, one of my gripes with the first book is there wasn't a lot of plot and it felt really weirdly rushed at the end where it was just like, we just learned about the character for 300, 400 pages. And I was like, I don't necessarily don't like it, but it didn't feel like a standalone book. Like it couldn't, you have to continue the series in order to make that book one make sense.
Which is opposite of what you said about a lot of books lately. So,
yes. And so that was one of my gripes with it. I'm happy that they continued right where it left off, because I don't think a lot of books really do that. They normally do like 2 or 3 weeks later or a year later, but like I think you needed to start where you left off. But I will say it kind of feels like this author wrote just a continuous book and then an editor came in and said, here's where you need to split it up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It does feel that way.
And I don't know if you want that feeling left out there for the readers.
I didn't mind it.
Yeah, I thought it was fine.
It's better than having to reread an entire like world building like in Onyx Storm.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's just, I agree. Like if I had to wait for this book to come out, I would have been left so confused.
Yeah.
I do agree with that. I think the reason I liked it is because we leave Diem in this really important place where she has to now basically decide how she's going to be introduced to the other families that are like powerful in the descended part of their society. And so how that happens is really important. And that's basically where the book picks up, is like, okay, now she's the queen. What do we do now?
And Luther is not the king, which is also a part shock of the tension.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then obviously her challenging is like the big deal in this book, which I think makes sense. So my issue isn't like the where we picked up or left off or whatever, but this question also addresses DM, and oh my God, I am sorry. I have never met someone so self-repressed, like no awareness of her own feelings, totally clueless about any maturity, any problem solving.
To be fair, this is entirely her mother's fault.
It is 100%. Totally her mother's fault, like completely, which I think is why I partly...
It doesn't make it less fault. Annoying, but it makes it like you accept it.
You can kind of stomach DM just because she has been set up for failure. The thing that really makes me mad is she holds on so tightly to this like obscene idealism where she cannot make difficult choices or let people who are in her life go. And what I really wanted from this book and from the next book is for DM to have to start dealing with that in a meaningful way where you can't have it all. Some people have to die, especially if you're going to fight a war and change the world. We have to let go of some of this like extreme pacifism. And I just was very disappointed that she did not grow a little more on that point of like the realities of ruling.
Yeah.
She can't make a complex decision to save her life.
Mm-hmm.
She's also never had to, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I blame her parents. I mean, I think her mother was kind of a shitty mother. Like,
yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Like, she left. Her mother was a fake version of herself to her. And we find that out throughout the series. And it's just like, you have set your daughter up for such failure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, even you said, like, no emotion, like, not. Can't get a grip on her emotions. Like, she was on that powder that made her not have emotions even for so long.
So she got no practice dealing with herself because it like repressed herself, and now she does not have a relationship with herself.
So now she's finding out she's someone she didn't know she was. Her mother's someone she didn't know she was. And everything about the earth she was raised, like the world she was raised in, is not the way she thought it was. So like,
right.
I understand she might have a little decision fatigue there.
Yes. And that's why you can kind of forgive her in this book.
And you get Luther to step in and help her. And I love Luther.
I love Luther, but I hated how she treated him.
Oh, true. Yes.
Yes. She is a little much in this book just from like her anger gets really out of control. And you do know that it's because she still does not have control of her magic. And so that like builds up inside her, and then she can't find release, and it makes her like really angry and agitated. But I think that's part of one of my other critiques, is there were some things in this book and in this series in general that are drawn out to the point that it's like a little excruciating.
Yeah.
One of them is DM's just like lack of growth and maturity journey. One is the relationship with Henry, which is extremely cringe and drawn out. The other is like the denial of Luther and her like denial about her feelings about him and the way she treats him in the process of that. And then the other is her journey with her own magic. Oh my God. Do we really need like 700 pages for this girl to be able to like just manifest one piece of magic?
It was irritating. I was like, wow, God, it's not so easy, but also like, oh my God.
Well, it's not like, so easy. And then like suddenly she has more power than the whole universe.
That part.
Cause to like, me, it's not up. Like, it's okay for things to not happen immediately, but I felt like the author struggled to juggle all the different things. Like, not every single one of these things need to take so long.
And there were a lot of really good pieces. They just could have been balanced better.
Yes. I think especially the thing with Henry, because again, like, I understand why it was so hard for her to cast him off. But it gets to a point that it's like truly just like self-harm.
We get to the end and he's still not like officially cast off.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck?
She hadn't broken up with him yet, even though I think both of them knew it's over. Mm-hmm. And then
she instead just promised him he could be king. So like,
yeah, that scene was so uncomfortable because that's the worst scene in the book. And then they like, he's just like, yeah, I get to be king. And it's so obvious. He's just in it for the power. He's not, he doesn't care about her anymore.
He's so disgusting and entitled to her body, entitled to her crown. Like just feels like everything she has to be his. And like,
I am. You find out he knew everything about her mother and kept it from her, which is like the biggest sin of them all.
It is. Oh, my God. I just wanted to claw my own eyes out and also his eyes out in that scene.
Let's talk about some of the characters we did like, though.
Yeah.
Namely, Eleanor, Taryn, Alex, Lily.
Yes. So I loved Alex. I loved having another badass bitch in the cast. I thought Lily continued to be cute. And I like Taryn, too.
Taryn's my favorite.
Taryn's my favorite, too.
I like that he's, like, willing to bring a little bit more of a reality check, which she, like, sorely needed. Mm-hmm. And he was willing to push her a little bit harder than some of the others, which I thought was good.
Well, and his relationship with his father and Eamon are interesting.
Well, I think that's what
Eleanor was my favorite.
Eleanor's so much fun. But yeah, I would say Eleanor. I love Taryn because of the complexity he brought to the Corbis family, because he really showed how different he is from them and how ostracized he is for being different. Mm-hmm. And I think if you didn't have those side characters, you really wouldn't get the complexity of the ruling family and how they even play politics with their own family.
Well, like Eleanor, who's like a distant cousin and just there to be there. And
yeah.
And it's just, it's so fascinating because especially with like Eamon, his brother, and how differently he's treated, but then also how differently he reacts to things and how manipulative he became because they were both treated horribly by their father. Their father's a dick. And I think they bring in this like level of nuance into like the ruling family and how you can stay on top and the politics of it all. That it allows you to even spread further into the different houses. And then you kind of understand that there's so much underlying in each house, even though you don't see it. But because you have these side characters in the Corbis family, you can only assume that each of the families have these sort of issues within them that they keep inside because they don't want it to be portrayed outside because they need power in order to survive.
Side note, anyone else watch House of the Dragon?
Yes.
No. It's really, really hard when I hear the name Eamon to not picture Eamon.
100%. Yes.
And they're both like, well, the one Eamon's actually evil, but they're both like not good people.
Complex. Yeah. No, I totally agree with you, Catherine. I think the supporting cast helped us get really deep into the family, into the descended world really quickly. They're also basically what changed DM's mind about the descended, and she said, oh, there's people here who are innocent too, who are victims of the system and who, you know, may not like the way the world is set up but don't have the power to change it.
Also the way they take care of Teller.
Yes. Yeah. Because she also then realizes that like there are members of the descended who are also oppressed. Like not every descended is in like a powerful role. They also subject each other to abuse. And so yeah, I thought that was great. And I loved Eleanor. I loved how fabulous she was. The one thing that really pissed me off is the funeral scene.
Oh my God.
I was like, I'm sorry. That would never have happened. They forgot to talk about her outfit. Obviously, that would have come up.
And she didn't listen to her griffin.
Uh-huh. I know. Whatever they're called.
I'm like,
Yep. Cringe. Okay. So we also get a lot more into magic and the magic system in this book, because we learn that, you know, not every descendant's power works the same. People have different strengths. And that leads them to have kind of different abilities, like Alex with her sort of like cloaking ability. What did you guys think of that and the kind of continued world building that we got?
Well, and then we also get during the Ascension Ball, we get to
that
see
was
the,
my favorite part,
the delegates from each like the oh my God, why am I forgetting the word? Whatever, delegates from each region. And then they give like a little bit of their power or a little bit of like a special gift to DM. And you get to see Umbra's like power, which I mean, I was so fascinated by them, particularly because they're like so like elusive, secretive, but also open to all. And, you know, mind reading is always like a fun thing because like you get to know everyone's weaknesses and everyone's strengths.
We also get a little glimpse of two of the, I forget what they call it, like the forming magic or whatever, like the magic that is tied to the lands and the rulers. You can learn from that too.
The
like there's like the forging. That's what it was.
Yeah.
There's like two layers of magic too. So like,
yes,
it's complex. And then each realm has its like two types of like kind of elemental powers almost. And like, some of them, it's males get one, females get another. Some of them, it just depends what you're born with. And it's so very interesting then to, like, see that, like you said, then within, like, within the light power, like, Alex can do projections and, like, other people can just shoot, like, lasers or whatever. You know, like, it's all different. And it's kind of fun that it's not the same.
Yeah. I will say Umbros continues to just, like, fascinate me. I love the Umbros Queen. I loved the Umbros delegates in this book. Like, I, that realm has me like in a stranglehold. I'm so fascinated by it.
Well, the fact that they got Henry to leave
in the third book.
You do get more of it in the third book.
Okay, so we've already talked a little bit about Henry. Canceled. Disgusting.
Well, okay, so let's talk about the other humans and the little movement they have and how DM has to, like, she doesn't have to. She's choosing to help them, like, infiltrate the castle as the ruler. Talk about a dumbass.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, she is so lucky that she doesn't even understand the castle because, like, she tells them a secret entrance, but then, like, it turns out that that secret entrance they would need, like,
isn't
her
secret.
Own blood. It's not the secret, and also, like, they can't get in that way. So, like, thank God for her own stupidity and not knowing the secrets of this castle. You can just tell that the leadership of the Guardians is corrupt. You can just tell that this, like, toxic-ass man
has gone bad.
Yes, because they allowed this toxic ass man who just wants power, and he's murder happy. He's trigger happy. Yeah. He just wants to kill every single descendant and for the humans to rule the descendant, because that's what he wants, is the flip in the system. He doesn't want equality. He doesn't want everyone to be fair. He just wants power. And I hate it when, like, people, like, it's so fascinating because, like, you know, I actually appreciate it because there are people out here in our real world where they say that they're fighting for equality, but they're really just fighting to oppress another, and they're fighting to flip the script. And I think it truly, like, gives a complexity to the Guardians, because you can tell, like, their original mission was to help humans and to get their voices out there. But that has been perverted by Vance and by Henry even. And now they're just out for blood.
Yeah. Because they have no strategy. There's no ultimate goal other than killing descended. Like, they have no plan about building coalitions, building power, using strategy to, you know, hit descendants and maximize their effort in a way that, like, minimizes harm but maximizes results. Like, there's literally, like, no real, like, ethical form of, like, leadership or just strategy. So... I mean, I kind of appreciate that, though, because I think it is very realistic. Like, anytime, especially when people are fighting oppression, it's, I think, hard to form a movement that doesn't become hateful, because you are being oppressed. Like, you are being treated unfairly. You are, like, that kind of hatred easily forms when the world is unfair.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get out of the us versus them mindset and realize that, like, it's a spectrum and there are good people on each side who believe things for different reasons, and you can't like lump everyone together, which both sides in this book are trying to do. And DM's like, wait, am I the only one who's been on both sides?
But she has, because they've killed all the half descended half mortals.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The one group of people who would understand both sides. Yeah.
Right. Which sort of brings us to one of the biggest revelations in the book, which is that Luther is also half human. This kind of feeds into this theme we're starting to see, that actually half human, half descended children are much more powerful than average, despite the lore. I can start, though. I hated that twist.
What?
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was so awful. Because this just, like, takes away all the, like, goodness of Luther treating humans well. Like, of course he treats humans well. He's half human. It's not like, oh, this descended prince is just, like, critical thinker and, like, wants to be a moral person. It's like, well, you're half human, so no duh, you don't treat humans that way.
Okay, I get what you're saying, but I also think, like, he had the decision to pretend like he was never half human, and he rejected that. And also, I think it's fair because, like, it's acceptable because he gets Taryn and Alex and them, too, and, like, Lily. They all treat humans like people because they are just nice people. So, like, if it had only been him being nice, I think it would lose some of its punch because he wasn't full descended, but I think it slides. And I didn't see the twist coming, but...
No, I did not either.
Wasn't mad about the little rebel prince, so...
I mean, I think it gives him more depth, honestly. And I also think it allows their love story to grow even more because he understands her. Like, he is in the same position she is in a different way.
And you learn why his father is so very terrible.
Yes.
Yes. That did make that make more sense. Yeah, I mean, I get those points. I just honestly, I felt like it was sort of like a softball, I guess. Like, that's, I didn't see it coming, but it just felt like, oh, of course, now they're the same. Now their love is going to be so easy because, oh, well, look at all these things they have in common. I mean,
no, because DM sucks.
Nothing could be easy. She'll never be easy. Yeah, DM chooses to make life as difficult as possible. But you see what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, oh, of course, he's half human too. So now they're just going to hold hands and fight their evolution together.
Like, I mean, love stories work best when people are equal. So
they were equal before. All right. So what's next? DM's training.
Inability to use her powers and her repeated training sessions where her brother watches and she can't figure it out.
Yeah. So part of the question is, does it make you suspect she's not totally descended? I assume this means like maybe DM's not a typical descended.
Well, because her powers are so different from everyone else, so it makes, and then there's like these little teasers in the book where it's like her mom's point of view, and she keeps talking about this cave she's really scared of, and I'm like, is her dad a god or something, or is he like,
totally also was thinking that the whole time, and was also wondering if her powers only manifested in self-defense because they only seemed to work when she was angry or scared.
So I'm with you guys. I thought DM's dad was possibly some kind of god or demigod.
Or like an original ascended or whatever.
Yeah. Like
kindred, some sort of that's what the
like, other.
Yeah.
But no. So in the first book, DM uses healing magic, which is not Lumos magic. And I've been anxiously waiting for that to come back up for a long time now. Which it does come up in book three. But ever since then, I was like, DM does not have normal magic. There's something different about her magic. And eventually we have to figure out why. So, yeah, the training didn't necessarily make me think that, other than she's a very hard-headed and difficult person. And I felt like this is like an extension of her inability to accept herself as her inability to do magic, which I think it really is.
Oh, yeah.
What they came down to at the end is like,
yeah, you won't accept that you're descended,
therefore your magic won't work. The end.
Right.
Yeah. You're not accepting your own self.
Right. So yeah, but the whole time I feel like there's so many signs where we're like, DM isn't really like, she doesn't really have Lumnos magic. She has some kind of other magic.
Yeah, and just
even though she does have,
she's trying to get settled with being like half human, half descended, and you're like, girl, just wait, I don't think you're either of those either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I got questions about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Mystery Papa is real mysterious.
Yes. Yes.
No idea. She's not a Corbos, that's for sure.
Yes. Okay.
So well, and like she also like vaporizes people.
Yeah. Which
doesn't seem like Lumnos magic either. Right.
She just disappears people. I was like, oh.
She pulls a, like a Thanos and snaps and they're gone.
Yeah. Oh my god, Thanos.
That's what I thought of. That's every exactly. time that happened. I'm like, all right.
Yes.
Where's it made 100%? Me think of that too.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, so this to me was the most heart-wrenching part, which I did not see coming. Probably a better reader.
The worst.
Yeah.
When DM's father is killed.
Not just killed either, like
brutally murdered.
Brutally murdered. Oh. Yeah. Horrible. That whole scene was so gut-wrenching. I don't remember for sure if I cried or not, but I was definitely at least close.
I cried. It
killed I did, me. But I was horrified.
It killed me.
It was well written. I will give her that.
Extremely like, well written.
Gut-wrenching.
And DM's father is like the sort of final voice of reason she has from her human past. And
well, she like the worst part is she uses angry words with him and then yes. he dies. I yeah. cannot. That is the worst part. Is like they had a bit of an argument and then he died. And I that's like my worst fear with anyone yes. in my life.
And he also like I think the thing I loved about him the most is I actually did think he was a great father.
Yeah.
Because he had very honest and difficult conversations with her. He was one of the few people in the book who was able to say like, DM, like, look at the kind of leader you are. Like, this is not a good or strategic way to behave. You know, like when she would fly off the handle and let her emotions get the better of her. That's kind of why they have this argument is her dad is like, DM, like, you are the leader of a realm now. You need to think about the realm and how your strategy impacts the well-being of the people who are served by you. You can no longer think about things just in terms of you and the people you love, which she continues to not do into book three, but it was the lesson that she needed to learn. And he tries to teach her and then he dies and it was horrible.
Well, the only reason she has survived this far is because her military commander stepfather has taught her how to fight. And so like without him, she would not be there alive or at all. So there's also the merit in like she keeps reflecting on these life lessons he's taught her. And, you know, that won't stop with his death. But the death was horrible. Awful. Then she like implodes and all her magic comes out. And then she has to tell Teller and it's the worst.
Yeah. Horrible. And I did feel like her grief was very well written.
Yes,
I did. And for also, a second, because Luther was there at the scene before she got there. I did for a second. I was like, what does he know? Suspicious. And then I think he was just there. But
yeah. Yeah. OK, so then we get to the end of the book. The challenging scene. I will say when every group challenged her, my jaw dropped. I did not necessarily epic. See that coming.
Including Luther.
And epic. Then Luther challenged her and I was like, oh shit.
Yes. It was epic.
I knew what Luther was doing. For a second yes. I was shocked and I was like, wait, hold on. He's trying to yes. sacrifice himself, obvious. Yes.
Yeah. I was like, what he's doing is so obvious and transparent.
It was definitely
considering they just
the wings of night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought those parts were shocking and really well written. I did think ultimately the challenging fight was a little anticlimactic. I wanted the fight and the ending to just give a little more, especially because then her and Luther just kind of like make up. Like, I don't know. I just didn't feel like the ending was like totally perfect. I kind of felt like, okay.
Well, and the fact that
why are we still here?
She got to choose her challenger because this was like an unprecedented thing. And so she's like, revenge. What in the rules?
Yeah.
She chose
revenge.
And then
she's like, why am I let you live? And he was like, haha, bitch, neither of us can live. Like,
Yeah.
And then she vaporized another person, which I still don't understand, and no one else does either. But
and also, like, she chose probably the least powerful of the people that she could have chosen, which I don't think helped her solidify her place.
No.
Like, she should have chosen Ron.
It was kind of dumb choices. Yeah.
It was stupid. That's part of what made me angry about it. Is okay. I'm really not a fan of when books bend the rules this far. Mm-hmm. Like, I think she should have had to fucking fight Luther.
Well, yes.
You guys know I'm crazy like that. Like, I'm not saying they both have to die, but I don't think she should have been able to get out of that.
Yeah, and no, then, but like Serpent in the Wing tonight, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do it till the last fucking
it's
breath.
Okay.
Right.
And the rules were supposed to be the most powerful one, so.
Right. So it should have been Luther, in my opinion. Then
it was funny though that his dad lost his magic because
it was funny.
Yes.
I was like,
deserved.
Ha, 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 ha. But the other thing I didn't like was that then again she refuses to be strategic and picks the worst person to fight. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, DM, I'm sorry, grow the fuck up. Like, fight the most powerful
and
one.
She's like losing.
Yes. And then. So the thing that bothered me with her magic at the very end, too, was that she's so powerful that once she finally uses it, it was like not even a fight.
Yeah.
Like, it was like
she scares all the people and they run in terror. And you're like, OK, so you went from non-functional to this.
Like, scared, not being able to fight, to literally just like all powerful. It just I needed the moment to be a little bit more like built in a good way.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's because that is not the climax of the ending.
No, right.
No.
And I was like, why isn't this book over? And then it keeps on going.
Yeah.
So
she has to go to Coralie, or however you say the island, where only the rulers can go and get officially coronated. Winning the challenge doesn't make it like official. And you get the vibe that this island is where her mom is at from all those little flashbacks. And Luther knew this. And she's going to the island and then everything goes wrong. Her blood breaks the stone, heart stone or whatever. Mm-hmm. And everyone hates her. All the other people are like, you are a fake. And then the island blows up.
And you see her mother running towards her.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yep. The end.
I did love that cliffhanger where I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
That was a good cliffhanger. It was a good cliffhanger.
What the fuck is happening?
Well, especially because like all of the rulers see her crack the heartstone and you get the reaction of all the rulers, and some of the rulers were not surprised.
You finally get to meet the other rulers.
Yes.
And it makes me even more excited about Umbros.
Umbros, because she's not surprised that had happened.
And neither is the Montios one.
Yeah, the Montios one, I'm so curious because they're such a like secluded, secretive like group.
She like helps him up the stairs or whatever.
Yeah.
It's funny. I'm like, no. Surely he gets more in the future.
Right. And you get to see that not all the leaders agree with each other. And some of them are a lot more all-knowing and clearly are more in the know than others.
And they all treat humans differently, etc.
So it is super, super interesting. Mm-hmm. And it does kick off like a very interesting start of the next book.
Well, because you're in the Central Island, you're no longer in Lumnos. So that means you could be going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's lots of people from every other realm. They're waiting.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy shit.
It's honestly, it was such a good cliffhanger. Once again, would have been super mad if the third book wasn't already out, because I was left with even more questions than the first one.
Yes. Cool. Well, I think that's our discussion. Do you guys have book recommendations?
I mean, I've mentioned Serpent in the Wings of Night like multiple times, and the challenging entirely gives that book.
Yes.
That was what I was going to recommend, because I was like, that's the most epic, challenging scene written in fantasy.
Yes, totally
it's
agree.
Still to this day, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It might top Favorite Under the Mountain, honestly.
Oh, 100%.
I think so. Well,
okay.
So are we just all in agreement?
We all are recommending that book.
Yep, just read that one.
We're good.
cool. Okay, so these are just our opinions. Engage with us online at Busy Girls Pod, pretty much everywhere. If you go to see us online, busygirlspod.com is our website, and you can keep track of our book recommendations and some of our episode stuff there. And please give us a rate and a review. 5 stars. Thank you.
And honestly, for the first time in like almost 3 years, our book list is running a little light. So like, send us your book recs. We've gone through a lot of them already. So let us know.
We truly have.
Yeah, there's a lot of new books coming out that I'm very excited about, but I would love to find a book that we haven't even been put on our radar. So
like, clearly we're not experts in every genre. We're mostly experts in fantasy.
Yeah, I know my fantasy. I need to expand outside of fantasy. But
yes.
Anyway, with that, I'm Catherine.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Casey. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.